This morning, we're going to be looking at a subject which I think is pretty obvious. I know that I think it touches each and every one of our lives in some way or another, and I just think it's timely. It has been a blessing to me as the Lord has set forth his word before me and just allow me to meditate on his word, and I think and I hope that it would do the same for you. We're going to talk about our thought life, the things that we think on, and how we ought to deal with those things. I don't know if you know, but when you commit a sin, it never just happens. It never just happens. Sinful acts start as attitudes or temptations in our minds and in our emotions. Scripture says in Mark 7, 21 and 22, "For from within, out of the men's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." James 1, 14 through 15 says, "Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." James 4:1 says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's pretty a popular saying. It says, have you ever heard the saying, "An idle mind is the devil's workshop"? Well, check this out. I was online and I came across this account. Bear with me for a minute. I won't say it's lengthy, but it's a little time. One day, Suresh was alone at home. His father had gone to his factory. His mother had gone to buy some groceries. Suresh sat with his books before him. He quickly lost interest in them. He looked around for something else to do. His eyes were drawn toward the kerosene stove lying in the corner of the room. An evil thought flashed through his mind. Suri went into the storeroom and brought out a tin of kerosene and a hand pump. He filled the pump with kerosene and tried to spray it into the kerosene stove. He did this again and again. The room smelt of kerosene. The stove was dripping with it. Then Suri decided to light the stove. He went into the kitchen and picked up a matchbox. Then he thought of playing a game. He threw the unlighted matchstick from a distance to see how far it would travel before it goes out. This was the first time. He hadn't even lit it. What happens? His thoughts. He decides, okay, let me light it. So he throws the first one. Then he throws the second one. Unluckily for him, the third match fell into the pool of kerosene on the floor, which immediately caught fire. Saray was shocked to see the flames and ran out of the house. The flames spread rapidly, and when they reached the stove and kerosene, there was a big bang. The curtains caught fire, and soon the fire spread into the next room. Saray's neighbors heard his screams of panic and rushed outside. They were shocked to see Saray's house in flames. Soon the fire barrage arrived and the fire was put out, but the house was badly damaged. Most of the wooden furniture and clothes had burnt. You might be thinking, that's a little far-fetched. Man, I ain't going to do nothing like that. But after reading this account, it was kind of touching to me. That's the way our thought life is. The text we're going to set our minds on this morning is going to come from Colossians 3, 2. It says, "Set your mind," or King James Version, "affections on things above, not on things on the earth." What we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at four questions this morning and see what the scriptures say about our thoughts. The first thing I want to settle is, does everyone believe and agree that the Lord knows our thoughts? Amen. Proverbs 15:26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Psalms 94:11 said, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. 139:2 of Psalms says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar. Ezekiel 11:5, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Matthew 9:4, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I believe we can all agree that the Lord does know all our thoughts. And the reason for asking this question, does he know our thoughts, is to give us, those who are in Christ, great comfort and hope that we can have victory over sinful thoughts. It's not a strange thing to the Lord what goes on in our minds, because he knows the minds of those that are his. And if you are in Christ, you can take comfort in knowing that the Lord does know our thoughts, and we can petition him on behalf of those things that are coming up in our minds and those things that are causing us a burden. Because me, myself, I personally believe sometimes thoughts will come upon our minds like a fly. You ever been sitting down and a fly just land on you? It's annoying. It's very annoying. And that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes you can just sit back and these thoughts will begin to attack your mind, and they begin to raise all type of evil thoughts and ungodly intentions upon your mind. But just the same way you do the fly, I think through the word of God we'll find out is the same way that we can handle these matters with the mind. I know when a fly lands on me and it becomes annoying, I just flick it off. A good guideline is not to allow yourself to consider or dwell on anything God would not want you to do. That's a good guideline. Next question, am I the only one with idle or sinful thoughts? Am I the only one? You know, sometimes we find ourselves having these thoughts. And when I say this, I mean, I know we got kids in here, but these lustful thoughts or these angry thoughts or these wicked thoughts begin to come against our minds. And we find ourselves deserting and drawing back to be alone because we're thinking, man, this is wicked. Why am I thinking this way? And we think no one else is going through it. I think this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe everyone has impure thoughts of one type or another. You might not have the type of impure thoughts that maybe may come across my mind, but I think everyone has impure thoughts at one time or another. That's part of life. That's part of, I guess, being a man or being a woman. Having an impure thought come into your mind, it's not sin in and by itself. Meaning if an impure thought just comes across my mind, it doesn't automatically mean that that's sin. But just don't allow yourself to think about sinning. Don't dwell on it or ways you can go about sinning. Have you ever been in a situation where you're talking to somebody and you hear other people talking on the outside, and in your mind you begin to think, man, I wish that person would just shut up? We just take that lightly. That's an impure thought, really. Why? It's an angry thought. It's an aggressive thought. It's a self-seeking thought. It's a thought that's saying, hey, I'm talking, and I don't want no one else to be talking. Please be quiet. In Romans 13:14, it says, close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Before we get to the next question, let us take a brief moment to look at our text. So if we'll go to Colossians 3, 2. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. We must not only seek things above, but we are to think things above. We are to put into practice what God affords us in our position with Christ Jesus. Paul turns to a stronger term than seek in our verse 1. He says, set your mind, which places stress on the whole bent of our lives. Seek emphasizes the pursuit of more concrete goals. When we're seeking to do something, we're really engaged in it. We're really mindful of it, and we really want this thing to happen. We don't take it lightly. We're really engaged like a battle to conquer this that's going on in my mind. Not in our own strength, but in the power of Christ, by his spirit, by his word. Set your minds on things above. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we're sure to survive in our spiritual wars. Our mind must focus on eternal things. Seeking, verse 1, implies striving. This term implies concentration. Mind includes our understanding, our attitude, our will. It means to employ our faculties and our mindset for thoughtful planning while emphasizing our attitude. To have an attitude, as Philippians says, to think in a particular matter as the attitude of Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also the mind of Christ Jesus. The Lord thought on eternal things. His mind was always on the will of his Father. He stayed focused, he being one without sin. He never let his mind drift away. He never allowed the words of the outside to come and plant inside his mind. He took the word of God and he combated it immediately. When mind is used with things, this means to think about events, not simply material objects. God wants us to establish an attitude towards his provisions for us. This word also means to keep on giving serious consideration to something. Like we was talking earlier, to ponder, to let our minds dwell on, to keep thinking about, to fix one's attention on here. Let your mind dwell on things above. We're to make a practice of that. We'll make the practice of getting into the Word of God and saturating our word, the Word of God in our minds and in our hearts, that we might be able to, I want to say, purge our minds of those thoughts. It's probably like right now, it's probably somebody thinking right now, I wish this was over. I wish he would sit down. Man, I wish it was, and they just got here. Well, we got to deal with those thoughts. We really do. We have to deal with them. And you're not alone when you go through them. In the light of Paul's letter to the Colossians, first, we need to understand what our true position is in Christ. That's first. We need to really understand who we are in Christ, what Christ accomplished at the cross, what Christ gives us through his resurrection, just the power and the ability to conquer sin by his spirit. We can put away those things. Matter of fact, the word of God, when he's telling us to set our minds on things above, you maybe should do this. You need to really do this. It's a command. You need to do this. It's very important. If you don't, it's going to be costly to you. Second, we need to weaken sinful habits and strengthen righteous behaviors. Why? Because once again, if you allow those thoughts to captivate your mind and you sit there and you dwell on them, they'll turn out in actions. Men, I'm gonna talk to the men for a second. Those men that are married. Have you ever been with your wife and maybe you get into a disagreement and you're kind of upset at the particular moment about what's taking place? Well, this thought comes in your mind. You're right. She's wrong. Tell her how it is. And what ends up happening, you give your wife a good, fast tongue lashing. I said it this way, I meant it this way, and I did it this way. It's over with. Your wife is looking at you like, man, he is crazy. I don't know why he's talking to me like that. So she goes away, and there you are alone, and all of a sudden you begin to realize that was not right. The Lord convicts you of what you just spoke to your wife, and you're thinking, that was not right. But at the same time, there's another way that we can address that issue. When that thought comes to our mind, we can think, no. No, I'm not gonna say that. And for me, man, my mind is like, man, my mind can take in a lot of thoughts. So sometimes I literally have to walk to the side and I have to talk to myself. I have to say, no, I'm not gonna say that. I've been a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things become new. I'm not gonna let the enemy allow me to address this person this way. And these are things that we must do in our walk with Christ. Why? Because, like I say, thoughts are going to come. And the question again is, what are you thinking? Are you allowing these thoughts to just lay weight in your mind like a bird does in a nest? Just saturate there. You find yourself for a whole hour thinking about this. Oh, I can't stand that person. If I could, I'd just tell them like it is. Or you're sitting there and you see a pretty girl go by and you're thinking, wow, she looks real nice. Instead of putting it away and thinking, no, I got to set my mind on my wife. I got to set my mind on the things that Christ has told me to set my mind on. You begin to dwell on this. I wonder what she would be like. Well, you're very bored of. And matter of fact, Jesus said, he that thinketh upon a woman, you're lusty, has committed adultery already in his heart. So we got to deal with those type of thoughts. We have to fill our minds with scriptures. Let it saturate your mind. Control your affections and determine the course of your life. You have to unleash the word of God on sin. You have to. You have to. It's like in battle. If the enemy is coming at you, you can stand there and really believe, oh, this ain't nothing. It's all right. He got guns. They're not shooting. And there's people falling all around you. But the fact of the matter, you have to fight. If you have your weapon, you have to use it. And we have to use the weapon, which is the word of God, to combat the thoughts that come against our mind. One thing we can do that often we forget, Jesus said, watch and pray. You can watch and pray. In war, failing to post guard is costly and often deadly. An army needs a lookout, someone dependable to watch for approaching danger, notify troops, and call for reinforcement. He stands watch while others eat. Remains alert when others are distracted and stays awake while others sleep. He's the first to detect invasion and sound the alarm. If he fails in his task, lives will be lost. Being watchful in the New Testament is often linked to prayer. Consider Christ's instructions to his disciples on the night of his arrest. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Remember how the events of that night unfolded. The disciples didn't watch or pray. They slept. And when temptation came, they all abandoned Christ. Even the ever-confident Peter. When the time came, they were sleeping. It wasn't time to be sleeping. And neither is it time to be sleeping when these thoughts come against your mind. It's not time to be sleeping because, believe it or not, these thoughts are brutal. I don't know about you, but I can bear witness, living witness, that I've allowed in times of my life a thought to come upon my mind. I've entertained that thought. It is acted out in sin, and I've regretted it. What I'm telling you is we have help from our God through Christ Jesus to put to death those things. Praying that God will protect you from temptation and deliver you from evil. It can't be done without the pursuit of personal holiness. We have to have a desire, and it has to be an urgency in our hearts to want to live holy lives. Why? Because when these thoughts come against our minds, the fruit of them is death. When we entertain them, it's sin. I think it would do us wise to not ever allow our thoughts to tempt us. That's what happens. We gotta deal with them quickly. And it might sound like repetition when I'm saying that, but it's the truth. You have to deal with them quickly. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to have a problem. I mean, I know it's probably brothers in here right now that's struggling with some very ungodly thoughts. There are probably some that have failed in some of the thoughts that have come against their minds. But I'm telling you right now, it does not have to be that way. It's not, the word doesn't say we have to allow these thoughts to take control of us, and we have to fall to them to learn. We have to grit our teeth and fight our mind. Grit it down, and I'm going to take it like a man. No, it's not what the word says. It says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And the only way we can do that is through the word of God. It's what God has given us, his word. And his word is power. His word is powerful. When Jesus was being tempted after 40 days of fasting, after coming from the, when he was being tempted at that moment, the only weapon he used was the word of God. The enemy said, take these stones and make them to bread. Jesus said, no, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, out of the mouth of God. Quickly. He could have dwelt on that. Well, he wasn't going to dwell on that, but he could have dwelt on that. He could have said, I am hungry. It's been 40 days and 40 nights. That wasn't the will of the Father. Jesus, though he seemed like he wasn't to the enemy calling the shots, Jesus was calling the shots. Jesus said, you're not going to have me do what you want me to do. I'm on a mission, and my meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me. And that's what he was to do, and that's what he did. And that, I don't think it's far-fetched that that's the will of the Father for our lives, to do his will. I don't think it's not something that we can't grasp. I don't think it's not something that we don't need as we endeavor to do, as Tim is encouraging us to do, to go out on this east side. Why? Because the fact of the matter is, when you get ready to go out there, in your mind, the enemy is going to plant all types of different reasons why you shouldn't go. Man, them people are crazy out there. What if they rob me? What if they start cursing? I can't take my kids because all kind of ungodly things are happening. It's me. The fact of the matter is, the enemy is planting seeds in your mind of, it's about me. I got to be concerned about me. But your life is not your own. Not if you're in Christ. You've been bought with a price. We're supposed to glorify God in our bodies. So the fact of the matter is, we have to take heed to keep our mind set on the things above. Why? Because the Lord has promised us that he'll never leave us He'll never forsake us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. He says, I'm going to be with you always, even until the end of the age. So when we go out, we can take great comfort and refuge in knowing that our God is with us. He loves us. He knows what's best for us. And if we don't do that, he'll have us sitting in our houses. Time is passing, and we're getting used to our couches, the comforts of life. That ain't your mind. Your mind ain't set on things above when you're in that type of life. Your mind is set on earthly things. The best way to take responsibility for our thoughts is by thinking on our union with Christ. Man, it's a lot to be thinking about. Just think. A sinful man, ungodly as we all have been in our lives, can have a relationship with a holy God who has no sin. Man, that's profound to think about. God would see fit. Christ would lay aside all of his glory, all that he had in heaven, to come down and dwell amongst sinful men. And pour it out. Bear the sins of man at the cross that men might have life. It's a lot to think about. John Piper said, develop mental habits that continually renew the mind and God's centeredness. Don't underestimate the power of a disciplined thought life. Meditate on powerful texts like these. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. What can be done to overcome sinful thoughts? I think one of the first things we can do is recognize that we need to be setting our minds on things above. We got to recognize and realize there are many things that are going on that's competing for our thought life, our attention. And sometimes we have to take a moment to step back. Why? Because, you know, we're in a time that our old brothers and sisters of past, they wasn't in. We got big screen TVs. Man, we got these cell phones that, man, it's amazing how busy we be on them. We have radios, the internet. Instead of these things, I think it would do us great to give ourselves to our Bible and to the living God. The most profound way that we can set our minds on the Lord is by doing exactly what Paul is encouraging us to do, by setting our mind on things above. You have to find a quiet place sometimes. Find a place where you can have peace from everything that's going on. Open your Bible. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes that I might see the wondrous things from your word. Help me, Lord, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord to help you in regards to your families, in regards to your workplace, in the regards to everyday situations that take place. Because I believe that these are the type of areas where we can find ourselves being attacked in. I personally believe one of the greatest tools God has allowed me to have in my walk with Christ is my wife. I do. Why? I mean, when I say tool, don't take it like my wife is a tool, guys. I mean, when I say tools, why? Because there's a lot of challenges there. There's a lot of, when I say, Lord, search my heart, oh, it's easy. Just go home. Once I get home and begin to deal with my wife and these things arise, the Lord is showing me. You need to put that to death. You need to deal with that. And sometimes we could take these issues instead of dealing with them directly and swiftly by the word of God. We could take these issues and sit back. I'm guilty of it at times. And sit back and she can't tell me. I know what I'm talking about. I'm the man of the house. She's supposed to submit to me. I got it under control. But the great thing is God gives us his spirit. He convicts us of our sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. We can confess our sins to God, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then we can get back focused on things above. Now, you might be thinking here, this dude talking about this stuff. I got thoughts in my mind, too. I'm going to start thinking on things above. I don't want to leave nobody with a misunderstanding here. Right now, what I'm talking about is people who are in Christ. People who know Christ. People who have a relationship with Christ. Now, am I saying I'm not speaking to everybody? I'm speaking to everybody, but I'm talking about these things are able to be overcome by those of us that are in Christ and have a love for Christ, and God gives us his word to combat them. There's a different outlook if you're not in Christ. Completely different outlook. Genesis 6:5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. If your mind is set on this world and your mind is set and handcuffed in the things of this earth, you have no battle defense. You're like a battle. Your enemy has come in with more troops. Why? Because he's already there. He's already reigning there. And now he is wiping out your mind. Lustful thoughts. Adultery. Thieving. Slickness. Whatever those things that control your mind, I'm here to tell you that you have no victory in that. The Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. There is none. You have been set in a state of total helplessness. Let's just go to Mark 7:21-23. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. For those that are in Christ, these are the things that we once were, where our minds once were set. But to those that are out of Christ, this is where your mind is now. The scriptures paint this picture. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinned it must die. If you think that all of these sinful thoughts that continuously control your life, I can just forget about it. It's going to go away. I just go get high and drown myself in alcohol and promiscuous lifestyles, and it's going to go away. It's not. It's not going to go away. Why? Because, like I say, you've been captured. It's like a battle. They're there. They've set the flag on your mind, and they're saying victory. But I can tell you what was told to me. It don't have to be that way. You can be set free. There is hope. Just the fact that you are in here breathing allows me to say with great comfort and courage that there is hope for you. Why? Because I once was in that same way. I once thought that I had it together, that I could control my thoughts. But it always did the same thing, led to death. And the conscience is telling you you're guilty. You're guilty. Guilty. You see a dear Christian brother out there, they run across you to tell you about the word of God, and boom, here come the thought. Oh, Christian people. You see what I can get. Listen to me. The scriptures paint this picture. It's appointed to man once to die, then the judgment. One day you're going to have to stand before this holy, righteous God, and who is no darkness. And unless you reckon and bow the knee to his son, he is going to pour his wrath out on you. This life is temporal. It's going this fast, like a vapor. We all going to be maybe here today, gone tomorrow. Maybe gone 5 minutes from now. But what would it profit you if you gain all the luxuries of your filthy thoughts but lose your soul? And for eternity, have to deal with the wrath of God being poured out on you. It's not temporal. Everybody here, if you don't recognize nothing else, you recognize your life is moving at a fast pace. You're getting older. I had a guy tell me the other day, man, it's like, why we all got to get old before the Lord save us? I said, no, brother, that's not true. The older they are, the harder their hearts was towards God. God is saving young people. God is moving in power. His spirit is moving across this earth, and he's taking young and old, anybody that'll bow their knee down and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, turning away from their sins, can have life. But there are those that are really captivated by the thoughts of their minds, and they really believe that there is no hope. Maybe you've been in a divorce. Maybe you've lost your kids. Maybe life just throws you some rough blows. And you're saying in your mind, away with this Christ that they're talking about. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And such was I. These same streets of San Antonio that the Lord Jesus Christ is moving upon, and it's called his people to go out and proclaim his gospel to, is the same streets that the thoughts that were in my mind came out and did sin. I thought I had it all together. Got a little money. Got cars, got girls, got respect, got prestige. I had filth. Why? Because my mind wasn't on the things of God. We were made and created for the glory of God, to worship the one that created us. Realize this, there is hope. I don't care what thoughts are going through your mind right now, there's hope in Jesus Christ. Christ went to that cross and shed his blood for sinful man, that they might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, that they might have a relationship with God. Bow the knee. Repent. Believe the gospel. Turn away from your sins. Let it go. I've been to a whole bunch of funerals, and I've heard a whole bunch of people get preached into heaven. Sounds good. Looks good. A lot of shouting. A lot of celebration. I've even heard people get over a casket of sinful man, sinful woman, and say, this is not something to be sad of. This is something to celebrate. No. I warn you, it's not a celebration for the wicked if they die outside of Jesus Christ. It's nothing but wrath. The wrath of God being poured upon you. If you think that you are able in your own strength, in your own ability, with your filthy works, to come before a holy God with him and offer him something for your sin, you're wrong. And the devil is wrong. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. When you're in the world, you begin to think, I don't have no place to stay. Now I got a place to stay. I help my friend. Come on, John, let's go to the house and stay together. We'll get high together. And in your mind, you ponder up, I've done something good. Book of Isaiah says, all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. It means nothing. It means nothing when you go in your cigarette package and pull out a cigarette and give it to somebody that needs something to smoke. That means nothing before God. The problem is not somebody just needs help. The problem is your sin. And it must be dealt with. And what I'm telling you right now is set your mind on Christ. Turn away from your sinful thoughts now and set your mind on seeking the Lord while he might be found. Turning to him while he offers salvation. He says, any man will, let him come. And if he's saying come, you're not going to be put to shame. He took an old wretched me, like me, an old wretched sinful man like me, and gave me a new heart. Nothing I did. It's what Christ did. One dead in his trespasses and sin. Man, I've done some things that if I even told half of you, you probably would look at me different. But that's what Christ came for. Sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for men that had a problem. And what I'm here to tell you is that Jesus Christ paid the price for sin. Real simple. Real simple. He came and walked this earth, born of a virgin, without sin. He wasn't born like we were born. If he would have been born like we were born, he'd have been sin-stained, because through the first Adam, sin was passed upon all men. But Christ, he was able to go to that cross. He was able to be the Lamb of God who come to take away the sins of the world. And I'm saying to you today, if you're outside of Christ, you can have eternal life. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to live the rest of your life consumed with the evil thoughts that captivate your mind and keep you wondering and thinking the way you think. You can be a new creature in Christ. Old things can pass away and all things can become new. And then you can do what Paul is encouraging those that are in Christ to do. set your mind on things above, on the beauty of Christ. Just think if we begin to set our minds, brethren, on what awaits us in glory. If you just think, hold on, I'm going to see him. We think that's far-fetched. Oh, man, that's way out of there. That's a fact. It's the word of God. And we can sit and actually allow our minds to be taken away into the things of God, into the things of Christ. So I do think, I guess I could say this, that an idle mind is the devil workshop. And I do believe with all of my heart that we can set our mind on things above. We can think about the excellencies of Christ, the glories of Christ, the joy we have in Christ, the forgiveness we have in Christ, the undeserving grace that Christ has given us. So if your thought life has been a thought life that's racing toward the things of this earth, get it in focus. Get it in focus. When I finish, Rich is going to take that machine. He's going to put it up on the board. And listen to me. If we can't read the words up there, it's not going to do any of us any good. Why? Because I'm a witness to this. When that light accidentally goes off, it ain't many of us can keep up with the words. It's just like when we take our eyes off of Christ. We can't keep up in this walk. But when Richard takes that machine and he sets that thing in focus, which he's going to do in just a little bit, we can all sing in union the glorious things of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing the victory we have in Christ, knowing the love that Christ has for his people. So be encouraged, my brothers and my sisters, that we do have help. We do have help in our Lord. He gives us his spirit. He gives us his word. So, man, if nothing else, over the next couple of days, Lord willing, man, just set out to spend more time in the word. Think back what Bob Jennings said. Man, I love this brother so dearly. And the man quotes scripture. Kevin, you quote scriptures, and I love you, brother, but this man quotes scriptures like the Bible is, like he's the Bible. And he's telling us that one of the things, if he looked back, he regrets, is that he haven't got enough of scriptures memorized. Come on, brother. Don't be slothful. Rise up. Not in your own strength and your own power, by the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let us reign with him, even in our thought lives. And those of you who are outside of Christ, cry out to him to save your soul. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord help us all.